want to talk about, it goes right along with what we're saying tonight. I didn't know it when I was going to preach this, but now I see what God's trying to say. Last week I talked about that Greek word lambano, which means when we receive Christ, we grab hold of him, hold on to it. It doesn't mean just you just say, oh yes, thank you. It means you saw it, you grabbed it, you grabbed hold of you. You would not let go. You had the revelation of how much Jesus meant to you, and you got hold of it. And so here in 1 John, he says something here, and I want to read it. I love to read the very first verse, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Wow, isn't that a, that's one of the, I mean, you could feed on that one line right there for just ever. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. You know, God does things in our lives that we do not understand. We can't fathom. Just like what Maggie, and using her again as an example for that, just the simplicity of a simple person doing something like that. You know, God wants to just use, he wants to take us. But there's this line, there's this small line. And we humans can get it so messed up. The thin red line, we'll call it, that's right there is when we start to do it for our glory versus his glory. We want to have a word of knowledge for somebody because we want to look real spiritual because it makes us feel good. We want to see somebody get healed, so wow, isn't that spectacular? So it blesses our ego. See, sometimes we do it subtly. We don't even understand it. Sometimes through the depravity of our own souls and the weakness of our own hearts. I mean, you're made out of dirt. God bless you, but, you know, we're all made out of dirt, right? We all got problems. The Bible says, Jeremiah 17, the heart of man is exceedingly wicked. So you started out made out of dirt and being exceedingly wicked. You say, well, I didn't do that much bad. No, but if you take how good God is compared to what you did, you're still bad. Without the blood of Jesus, there's no place. Without the blood of Jesus over our life, we got nothing to stand before a God that's perfectly, purely good, right? So no matter how good you were, standing up to perfection, it ain't going to cut no mustard, right? So what happens is we cross that thin red line. Man crosses a thin red line and we start doing things because it makes us feel good. We start doing things because in our heart, the wickedness within our own heart, and I'm not saying y'all are old, horrible, wicked people. I'm saying it's wicked compared to the perfection of God. Y'all with me? Starts coming over and it does something for us to make us feel good instead of just us loving Jesus. Behold what manner of love he's. Just being grateful people to say, God, you're so amazing to have even loved me and didn't throw me out of the kingdom, didn't send me to hell where I belong. Lord, you've brought me into the kingdom. You brought me in here that all I got to do is just, you've made a way. You poured your blood out on me. You did everything, Lord, for me. Oh, I'm so grateful. All I want to do is just, Lord, just humbly walk in whatever you want me to walk in. Lord, it's all glory goes to you because I'm an idiot. That's a good prayer. I hate to tell you, but that's a good prayer. Lord, forgive me, for I am an idiot. And I need your grace and help every moment and every second, or I'm going to mess this whole thing up. Then your heart's right, your heart's pure. Now let's go down here. Let's see, verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. So we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. So listen to me. When you see somebody hurting and sick, when you see somebody in need, when you see somebody in pain, our attitude should be, we're the good Samaritan. We saw the person, and we're not going to be like everybody else that passed by. Right? And Jesus set the example for us because he laid down his life for the brethren, so it doesn't have anything to do with us. If we could ever get it through our heads that the ministry has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with him. So we teach children because we want them to know about Jesus so they can fall in love with him, so they can have a relationship. And though we may enjoy teaching, we may enjoy doing that, okay, it may stir and stimulate us, but we're doing it so that they know Jesus doesn't have anything to do with us. You're with me? So that everything that we do always has to do with getting somebody closer to him and not us. That's why I get so freaky about it. I don't like my picture anywhere. I don't like to. Going on YouTube is the hardest thing of my life. I don't want nobody looking at me. I don't want nobody looking at Robert Richards and me. My gosh. I don't want anybody looking towards me. I want everybody just looking towards Jesus because I don't want to get in the middle. I don't want them to be saying, oh, look at him. Here he comes. This is who we need. No, go look to Jesus. And sometimes I get kind of crazy with that and I just want to run off and hide in a hole because I don't want that. It's got to be about him. So he says, by this we know, because he laid down his life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whatever has this world's goods and, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Okay, shuts up his heart from him. It's real important to understand that. When he says he shuts up his heart from him, in other words, if you never saw it, you didn't shut your heart up from it. You just were oblivious. It's when you see a need and you think there's a need and you see it, but then you don't do anything about it. And it was brought to your attention. Right? But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him and does not, how does the love of God abide in him? Because see, this love that God, that we're so grateful that God didn't smoke us, that compels us then to want to do something for somebody else, not that we want to do something for somebody else because it's going to make us look good. Right? It's that love that, I don't even know how I got in. This wild love that God just, behold, what manner of love is this that he gave his only son for us, right? That's what changed our life. I mean, that's what compels us is seeing how great God loved us, then how could we not love others? Has nothing to do with us. Has everything to do with him. Little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Notice he starts talking about the heart, the heart, the heart, the heart. Now I truly believe that it's not fair for me to just stand up here and just throw a big blanket and say, you know, it's this or that, because all of us go through different experiences in life and we go through different things that hurt our hearts, different problems, different, things that maybe you didn't even, you know, it wasn't that what you did, it just came upon you in life and, you know, from your parents or from whatever like that. And sometimes our hearts can get hurt and our hearts can get damaged and things can happen to us that we never ask for that causes our hearts to become callous and insensitive to what's around us. But God can heal it. That love that God has for us will heal your heart. If you allow and you meditate on and you dwell on and you chew on like a cow chewing on his cud about how much God loves you, it will change your life. You say, well, I can't hardly believe God loves me. Okay, there's your first deception right there. That's the first place you need to start. Listen, I didn't make up the rules. He did. He's the one that freely offered us salvation. He's the one that freely gave us Jesus. All I have to do is accept the glove that he gave us. It's crazy. It's outlandish. Doesn't make any sense. Why would anybody? Because we're not God. We're human. And we think on human level. But he made the deal and boy, I want it. I want my peace. Right? I stake my claim. I want in this deal. This grace, this mercy, this love. I don't want to go find something else. I don't want anything else in life. I want him. So he says, this truth then comes into our hearts, and that truth gets in there, and it starts to heal our hearts. It starts to give our hearts assurance that what we're doing is God. For Him, not for us. 19, and by this we know that we are the truth. 20, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Isn't it amazing that He put it all down to then the heart meter on the inside of you to tell you if it's what you're doing is right or if what you're doing is wrong? What I'm amazed at is how a person can view something that I view as wicked as okay, and I can't understand why they can't see it. You with me? I saw a deal today that said one out of every five children in Germany do not have any idea what Auschwitz is. One in five German children do not know about the Holocaust, do not know about the death camps in Germany, what their ancestors did. Pretty amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's here and it's, you know, we see it, and I mean, we hear something all the time about a Holocaust survivor or something. I mean, some little something comes up, you know, memorials, you know, right? I mean, we there's things all the time pop up in the paper, whatever. You would bound to think you'd come across something like that. But if one in five don't even know it, then that means that that's what they're. If you just ignore it and you just look away, right, then maybe it didn't happen. And then there's people that really believe it did not happen. It was all fabricated, it was all made up. It's not that it did not kill 6 million Jews, right? But do you know since 1973 there's been 45 million abortions in the United States? What's the difference? I mean, honestly, if you believe life begins at conception, what's the difference? Oh, okay, so we'll just change the thinking that life doesn't begin at conception, and so therefore, nothing happened. What I'm trying to say is if your heart has become hardened like that, and you won't believe that, then you begin so deceived in your life, and deception is so set in, that then everything you do is going to be slanted. So if God says it's our heart that's giving us the meter to condemn us, then the most important thing we can do is keep our hearts right with God and keep God's love pounding into our hearts on a daily basis to keep us from getting off. Right? Because it's the meter on the inside. If your heart doesn't condemn you, how many times, I mean, y'all, God-loving, sweet people probably never had this problem, but there's been times in my life that something has angered me, and I have said, this is what I'm going to do. Let me catch them. Right time, right spot, and I'm going to tear into them. And I'll run through this big scenario in my mind of what's going to happen. If they say this, I'm going to say that, and then they're going to do this, I'm going to do that, and oh gosh, I just hope that they do this, and then I'm going to do that. And I feel very confident that I'm in the right until I pray about it. And the scripture pops up, you know, pray for your enemies, do good to those that despise you and deceitfully use you. And I'm like, not what I want to hear. And my heart condemns me. It says, I can't do that. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. Or if you already went and launched out and did it, then you're convicted. You shouldn't have done it. Okay, but your heart's still condemning you. See what I'm saying? That's a good thing. Listen to me, folks. When your heart condemns you, that's a good thing. It means that you're still sensitive to the things of the Spirit of God. It's when your heart doesn't condemn you, or you're arguing with the condemning of your heart, you don't want to listen to it, that you're in trouble. Because now, you're simply just doing your own thing, and you're going to get off. You're going to start going off to the side. You with me? I used to always say that when I was trying to walk in the things of God and I felt like I was taking a shower with my socks on, I'd missed it. You know? Just a subtle thing. You're just taking a shower and something just doesn't feel right. Right? And if you don't know what that feels like, try it tonight. We'll give you a good idea of what it means to miss the Holy Ghost. Nothing's really horribly happening. Nothing's really bad. Nothing's really horribly wrong. You can't tell that just something doesn't feel right. You with me? And then, when everything's right and going right, there's this peace in the midst of a storm. There's a calm in the heart. There's a peace there that pounds within you, and you say, I don't know, I think everything's going to be okay. You with me? That's your heart leading you. No condemnation. You're not being condemned by your heart. Your own heart convicts you. Your own heart condemns you. See what I'm saying? So, how important it is that we keep our hearts right. How important it is that we keep our mind focused on what keeps our heart right is remembering, looking at, meditating, chewing, finding scriptures, passing them around your house, put them up, of how much God loves you and what He did for you. And that's what keeps your heart right. That's what heals your heart. That's what sets everything free. That's what takes you out of bondage. That's what breaks yokes off of you. Everything. It's the love of God that sets you free. Amen? So then when you see that person, you're going to pray for them, you see that, whatever, it let the love of God within you compel you. And then just watch what happens. Watch what happens. See what God does. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Y'all got it. You got it, you got it, you got it. Well, glory.